Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to podcast number 174. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good, Doug. How you doing today?
Just having a peachy great time, scratching an itch and some poison ivy, working out in the heat with it. Beautiful things, Dan.
other than that, everything's wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah, I got a major case of poison ivy, buddy.
That's brutal.
Yeah, second round of steroids. They're great for my liver.
Yeah. Unfortunately, all the good drugs they have nowadays is always a downside to it. It cures one thing and hurts another, right?
Yeah, my wife's saying, please stay away from anything green. I said, okay, I don't have to eat spinach anymore, right?
Right.
I do like spinach, but I have to be a wise butt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay, Popeye.
Yep, I am what I am when I am. But we're going to have a little fun tonight. We ain't did this in a couple months. We're going to have our little first thing you think of game. You ready?
I'm ready. I've been waiting for one of these. It's been a while since we've done one, and I enjoy these, so I'm ready to roll.
Well, I'm going to let you go first, as usual. I set the show up. I get it ready. You're the guinea pig. You get to go first.
Okay, somebody got to go first. I guess it's me. So, meaning you're going to give one to me, or I'm going to give one to you?
I mean, I'm going to give one to you.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me clear my mind. All right, lay it on me.
Okay, what's the first thing you think of when I say overrated in Walt Disney World?
Overrated?
Uh-huh.
All the Frozen stuff in the Hollywood studios comes to mind. That's just, you teed one up for me.
I didn't expect that to come to you that quick. That isn't what I thought of, because I do these before I come on the show. Yeah. I'll do them with my wife, and we both answer with each other to see how the
Right. Well, I'm just being honest.
Want you to be. That's popped, what this is all about.
Yeah, that's what popped into my head first. I did, you know, quickly I thought of attractions, but there was nothing that just popped into my mind as far as being overrated. But with all the Frozen stuff, and I saw a bunch of stuff online today. I think it was the first day for Forever Frozen or whatever that show is at the Hollywood Studios with the new stage in front of the Chinese theater there. That popped into my mind, and I'm probably unfair on my part. I do have a bias against Frozen in Disney World, not the movie. I love the movie, but what popped into my mind. Overrated.
It took your maelstrom, so now you're never going to let forgive it.
Right. I have an agenda. There's no doubt about it. I'll freely admit that. But having never seen it, it's probably unfair for me to say that. But like I said, it isn't about what's fair or not fair. It's just what popped into my head first. So just in general, all of the Frozen stuff that's coming out and has come out already and will come out, as you mentioned, in place of my beloved Maelstrom.
Well, I was down there last year during all this Frozen stuff at the studios, and I'll tell you what, I really enjoyed it because, you know, in years past, I've complained that there's not enough to do in the studios, and it was pretty cool to see Olaf on stage and have it snowing, you know, on Hollywood Boulevard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's a unique thing that you don't see every day, that's for sure. So, yeah, I mean, maybe hopefully I get to see this at some point or some of these offerings they have down there.
And the skating ring was cool. And I really liked it because it was something that the studios needed. And any of the Frozen music, all that stuff makes me happy. So I enjoyed it all. But I know what you're saying. Maelstrom has a little splinter in your foot, per se, with all this Frozen stuff going on over there. So you're kind of being a cranky man towards the Frozen. But I will say that I seen a lot of it. I did enjoy it. I thought it added a lot to the studios. And I think you would like it too, Dan, when you went down, especially with the Olaf is really cute. Anna and Elsa a little bit much because it was at the Magic Kingdom and at the studios. I think it would be a little better if it was more consolidated to the one park.
Right.
Isolated to the one park.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the thing that came up with overrated, and it actually came up, Brenda and me both said the same thing. Because I had already written down Mayan before I asked her.
Okay.
And we both said Le Cellier.
Wow. You went restaurant. I that never even crossed my mind.
Yeah, when I said overrated to myself, as I was doing this list, I thought of the word overrated. And the first thing, because I do it to myself as I'm doing this, and I write it down.
Right.
And the first thing came to my mind was Le Cellier. And yeah, it's just because the last couple times we've eaten there, I love the food. Don't get me wrong, it was good. But the way the prices have rise, the two dining credits, the whole nine yards, and with all the other great restaurants on property, I think it's overrated now.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with you. I mean, I've eaten there trip before last or whatever. I mean, it's still a good restaurant. I mean, I would go there tomorrow. I wouldn't say that I wouldn't, but you are right. All the hype and the buzz over the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, and when they went up to the two dining credits, that left a kind of a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. You know, it's good. It's still in my top echelon of Walt Disney World restaurants, but you're right. Given their limited availability, and like you always say, they seem like they're kind of full of themselves over there because, no, we don't have a table. You must move on around the world showcase. I don't know. It just seems like they're a little more snooty than they used to be based on their newfound reputation as being a signature restaurant.
It's funny you say that. It's like, I mean, for 10, 12 years, it was by far, pound for pound, the best restaurant on property for me. It was the undefeated champion of Disney World for me and my wife. It was like every year, I can't even count how many years of the 40 trips we've been down there. I can't even count how many times we've eaten there two times in a trip. That's how much we love Le Cellier.
Right.
But for the last few years, it's totally dwindled. Like, when we go in, the last time I even said to my wife, even the hostesses seem smug to me. Like when people were coming in asking for availability, they were, like, laughing at them, it seemed like. and you know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
like,
the people that don't go
all the time, we were sitting there waiting for our reservation, and people come in, you wouldn't happen to have a table, and they're like, no, we don't.
Do you,
like,
know where you are?
Do you not know this? Exactly. You know, are you kidding me? Like, they were, like, all smug. It was like, is that the stupidest thing you ever heard? It seemed like they were saying.
Yeah, it is amazing how it's changed, because you're right. You know, if you go back maybe 6-7 years ago,
it was like home away from home.
Yeah, and you could get an ADR fairly, you know, easily. It was just one of the regular Walt Disney World restaurants. But, you know, like I said, once this buzz started, and, you know, and then it was like people's vacations were ruined if they didn't have an ADR for Le Cellier. And I got to be honest with you. I mean, I just made a bunch of ADRs a couple weeks ago for my trip in the fall.
You didn't even think about it.
Nope, didn't even think of it. Now, you know, if we walked upon it and we didn't have an ADR, I'd definitely go in there. Great steaks, great restaurant. I mean, I'd go, but it's just not something I seek out anymore. I mean, you know, if it comes, it comes, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. And I think, generally speaking, that's kind of wearing off the buzz, if you will, over Le Cellier. And I think it'll get back to being a restaurant that you can not just book anytime you want. It's still very popular, but it's not going to be difficult like it's been, you know, the previous couple of years.
Especially with Disney Springs opening, with all the new restaurants, and now that you have the new offerings at the Polynesian, with that being back in full swing, you know, things coming to the Magic Kingdom, I think it might loosen up a little bit over there, because I can't even count how many times either that me and Brenda for lunch or dinner just walked up and ate there years ago. You're talking 99, 2000,
right,
through like 2004. Every time we go down, we do have an ADR, and another time we'd walk up and go, man, I could really go for that pretzel bread. And we'd go back in, because we would be at Epcot every day on a 7-day trip, me and her.
Right.
You know how we tour. Every night we end up back at Epcot, it seems like.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I still think the food quality is there. I mean, I
Oh,
wouldn't say
absolutely.
that, but like I said,
It's
there's
the aura. It's more the aura and the price point, not the food. The food is still awesome. It's
Well, you
just
know what?
not worth the money in some ways.
Yeah, and it's a supply and demand thing. It's almost like if somebody tells you you can't have something, you want it that much more. So the fact that the ADRs were so hard to get, people wanted them just because it made them feel good. Oh, I got an ADR at Le Cellier. But, you know, you pointed out a great point that, you know, with Disney Springs is, you know, going to be a half a dozen new premium dining locations down there and the Polynesian and you know, everything you
The new
mentioned. I
Jungle
mean,
Cruise restaurant, and
yeah.
it's more and more is opening. Hey, just like you talked about, you got to broaden your horizon. Just American Q over at the B Resort.
There you go. There
I
you
mean,
go.
now if it wasn't for me and you talking to them and everything we did, you wouldn't have gone over there to the old dentist. Now the new dentist is starting to broaden his horizons a little bit. He's like, I might go back on my next trip to get more barbecue.
Well, I'll tell you what, I did leave a couple of nights open on our trip in the fall, and that's a very realistic possibility that I will go to the American Q.
Is that
Absolutely.
good?
It was.
So, okay, hit me with yours before we continue on the
All
food.
right. I pick very simple ones, but anyways, what do
Well,
you
I'm a
think of?
simple one for a simple man.
First thing you think of when I say the word horse?
Horse, the Main Street trolley.
There you go. That was ding, ding, ding. That was number one on my list.
And I was just thinking that and the weird part is, the other day I was doing some research for our draft. You know, just roaming through my old Disney books and stuff like that. And I said to myself, I don't do that enough. That's something that I just watch it go by almost every trip, and I need to get on that more often. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I've probably done it, I don't know, 3 or 4 times over the years, but you're right, because usually when this is the way I view it, when you get to the Magic Kingdom on whatever day you choose, you're ramped up, you want to do this, you want to do that, you got your fast passes, and, you know, we all do it, you know, it's either a beeline to Starbucks and grab your coffee and over to Big Thunder or whatever your itinerary says, but, yeah, it's awesome to take that ride with the trolley car, either up Main Street or back down from the castle. But again, you got to kind of be willing to just take it slow, take it easy, enjoy the ambiance. But if you can do that, that's an awesome way to see Main Street USA from the trolley car itself. It just gives you a whole different perspective.
It's just awesome. And then the other cars that they have every once in a while, and the double, like nobody, you don't get on them. And we need to enjoy all that stuff more.
Yeah, if you don't, they might take it away. Who knows?
Exactly. And that's half the ambiance. I mean, I know I don't get on it, but dude, I would really, really miss it if it wasn't there. I really would. I love seeing that horse. It just relaxes me watching it go up and down Main Street.
Yeah, and hearing the hoof marks on the asphalt
Absolutely.
that just
Clickety
clunk,
clack,
clunk.
clickety
Yeah.
clack.
I mean, that's just very comforting. It's a lot like the Main Street Walt Disney World Railroad, hearing that whistle blow. It's the same thing. It's just all of those things in concert just, you know, give you the feel of Main Street USA, and that's a big part of it.
Yeah, come over to the Doug Kingdom and
Yeah.
check out the train, buddy.
Right.
It's over at my park. Don't forget to vote.
There you go.
There you go.
Number two and three on my, I just jotted a couple things down as far as horse goes, but the Port Orleans
Me
Riverside, the
too.
carriage ride was one that came to mind secondly, and then thirdly was the Headless Horseman at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. That's horse centric, if you will.
Absolutely. And the other thing comes to my mind is the carousel.
Oh, there you go. I didn't even think of that, but yeah, Prince Charming's Regal Carousel. Yep.
Absolutely. That's the other thing that comes to my mind. It's horses are a major thing in Disney World, and then the Wilderness Campground.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you think of, the Square D Ranch over the Circle D Ranch over there.
Yeah, I mean, you can go horseback riding, and they got all kinds of stuff, and you can look at the horses, and they actually house the horses that work on Main Street over there at Wilderness Lodge. So. And for the carriage ride, for that matter. So any of those horses that you see out in the parks or at the resorts, you know, you can go over to Wilderness Lodge and see them in their natural habitat, if you will, in the you know, in the farm area over there.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, the horses are a main thing at Disney World, and I love that Main Street trolley.
No doubt, no doubt.
Okay, so my next one for you is underrated.
What's underrated?
Absolutely. What do you consider underrated at Walt Disney World?
I'm going to say the TTA.
There you go. That's a very good answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's not underrated for me and you and probably Bob and, you know, the circle that I hang around with and are friendly with. But I think some of the younger crowd, and I'm not trying to stereotype here because there are younger people that really enjoy the TTA, but I think that the thrill ride junkies, if you will, that are just looking to, you know, do the rock and roller coaster or the Tower of Terror or Everest and, you know, all the big, you know, exciting, thrilling rides, kind of overlook this. And I think that, you know, I think as you get older, you kind of appreciate an attraction like this that takes you, you know, basically all through Tomorrowland and gives you an overview of all the attractions. And it's got a, well, at least it used to have a classic spiel, if you will. And there's still some of the old stuff in there, but they've updated it. But it's just, I think it's very underrated. I mean, usually you got no wait at all, little to no wait to get on it. And I just think it's a must do with the Magic Kingdom. And like I always say, especially if you've been touring since early in the morning and you want to get off your feet for a bit, maybe after lunch or something, and just take a nice leisurely ride around Tomorrowland and Space Mountain and all that stuff, it can't be beat. Now, I just think it gets sold short by some people.
I agree. My wife, actually, I asked her the same question, and she was close to you. She said Carousel of Progress.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. That's definitely in there. And again, I mean, I do it every time, or I try to do it every time, most every time. I won't lie and say I do it every time, but I try to do it just because I'm fearful that it may not be with us much longer, and I'd hate to see that happen. You know, you've spoke about this, and I know you love this attraction dearly. I mean, this is truly a throwback.
It's the original.
Yeah, I mean, it's a throwback to Walt. It's his baby, and, you know, for that to not be in a Disney park would be a shame, I think. So, yeah, I mean, it's so unique. I mean, when you think about it, the whole theater rotates around the stages. I mean, when you just, it's kind of mind-boggling when you think about when that was made and the technology back then.
Absolutely.
I mean, even for now, it's pretty unique. But, I mean, if you think about, you know, when it was actually made for the New York's World's Fair, and I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just an amazing, amazing attraction. And yeah, it's a little dated and it could be updated. Yeah, I get that. But if you just sit back and
just enjoy it for what it is, it's amazing.
Exactly. And
laugh at it, enjoy it. It's funny. It's comfortable. It's a nice time. Everybody should go see that. I mean, I hate that they only open. I hate that it's closed sometimes a year. I think it's nuts that it's ever closed.
Right, right. It has been. The last few times, though, it's always been open, and yeah. I have gone on it, and I always enjoy it. A catchy song, and, you know, your eyes
my
are going every. Yeah, yeah, and you can always almost see something you've never seen if you just study the different scenes that you go through. I mean, there's so much going on, and you know, obviously they're attracting your eye to certain things like the, you know, the oven door when it opens, or, you know, I don't know, anything. But, I mean, just, you know, there's a lot of corny references and you know, terms, I guess, from you know, back
yeah.
in the turn of the century and
well,
all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, call it the rat race, they call
right.
it.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
I love
right.
that stuff. It's awesome. Everybody,
yeah.
It's a must-do. And you two are on the same wavelength when you were thinking that. Mine was, again, I'm doing a Lou Mangiello. I went right to food. I went to food again. But mine is something that everybody always picks on. I'm not going to go crazy talking about it. But Tony's Town Tavern. I mean, Tony's Town Square at the Magic Kingdom.
Right.
I think it gets a bad rap. I mean, for the price of the food, I mean, your most expensive entree, yeah, the New York Strip is $32, but everything else on the menu is like $23, $20, $18, $21. I mean, it's not the best restaurant on property, but for the location, for what it is, I've never had a bad meal there. I'm not, like I said, I'm never going to say it's my best dinner ever. But the whole ambiance of it, where it sits, the location, I think it's a good restaurant for the price point that you're paying. You're not paying $50 or $45 like you are at Le Cellier or Cape May Cafe or something like that. You know what I mean? Then it's it for what the prices are. I think you get good food for your money.
Yeah, and I think the problem with Tony's is, you know, many, many, many people love Italian food, and there's a lot of people from the Northeast, and they're trying to compare it to, you know, Little Italy or something in New York City. And sure, if you do that, of course, it's not going to measure up. But I mean, for theme park food, Italian food, I mean, it's not bad. I mean,
the chicken parmesan's good. It's always right. Moist. It's not a dry piece of chicken. Everything's always fresh. The spaghetti's cooked right. You don't feel like the marinara sauce is 4 days old.
Right.
Yeah, it's not flavored like you said, like it's a Little Italy in New York. But for under $20, you get some pretty decent meal. A pretty decent meal here.
Absolutely.
So that was my underrated. I know. I'll get send your emails to Dennis, please.
Oh, geez. Thank you.
What's your next one for me, partner?
Okay. What do you think of first when I say the word pizza?
That's funny. I actually think of, when we talked about this on the last show, I actually think about the breakfast pizza that they used to have over at Riverside.
Okay.
Yeah, and I also, now come to my mind, you falling down on your last trip and hurting yourself.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah,
that's
you
a good
getting
one
hurt
too.
With pizza delivered to you.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, that's what I just think of. I want Brenda to draw that cartoon. Put that on a t-shirt with the pizza flying in the air. Port Orleans, Riverside.
I'll never live that one down.
No, but that
was a great one. I didn't even think of that. A couple that came to mind to me first and foremost was Via Napoli. They're, you know, kind of known for their pizza. Secondly was the pizza window over at Trattoria El Forno, which used to be, what, Cat Cora's restaurant? I can't think of the name of it now. What was her restaurant? Oh, boy.
Cucina.
Yeah, Cucina. Thank you.
Cucina.
Yeah, I mean, and the reason I think of that pizza window, I've never really gotten it at night or really when we stayed there, but one time, a couple, three, four trips ago, when my daughter and I went down alone, we had just got it, you know, to the resort. We were staying at Boardwalk, and we were starving, and we didn't, you know, we just, the first thing we saw, we went to, and we actually got, you know, a couple of slices and a soda each, and it was just so good. And I don't know if we were just so hungry because we had been up since 4 a.m, you know, at the airport, the whole nine yards. So by the time we got there and got off of Magical Express, we were just famished. And we went to that pizza window, and it just seemed like the best pizza we ever had. And again, it might have had more to do with we were so hungry, but that's just a memory I have. And pizza in that window, and that kind of, you know, comes to mind when somebody says pizza.
Yeah, we didn't. That's a good one. We didn't do the Cucina one, but years and years ago, we did. Remember the Boardwalk used to have the other pizza area there?
Oh, yeah.
That one, we were out walking around the Boardwalk. We were staying at the Swan and Dolphin. It was probably around midnight. And my wife laughs at me because I eat all the time when I'm down there, but I burn so much energy because I'm lucky. I don't have a weight problem. I could eat and eat, but I burn calories like you wouldn't believe, especially when I'm walking.
Yeah, lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. And but I'm always grabbing. So I remember we grabbed pizza from the window there at the Boardwalk, and we sat down along the Boardwalk there on the way back to the Swan and Dolphin, and it was really good. But I don't know, can you still get pizza there at the Boardwalk anymore?
In the pizza window?
Yeah.
Yes. When we ate at, let me get this right, Trattoria El Forno, there was a pizza window open. So the short answer is yes, they have kept that tradition of offering, you know, just grab and go, walk up, get a slice or two, and you're on your way. So yes.
Yeah, because I enjoyed that. Me and Brenda had a good time. It's those little things that are some of the best memories, just grabbing something like that, sitting on one of the benches and chilling.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it goes with the Boardwalk. What would a Boardwalk be without being able to get a slice of pizza, right?
Absolutely, especially around our way.
Exactly. So I think that's why they keep that. I don't know that it's very profitable for the restaurant itself. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But certainly it goes with the ambiance of the Boardwalk.
Yeah. Because I think what happened now is Disney getting more politically, not politically correct, but I mean food correct.
Right.
I think a lot of the pizza, the breakfast pizzas, I think they were replaced by the breakfast wraps.
Right, right.
Because it seems like every resort now has breakfast wraps, or they have wraps for everything now.
Yeah, I mean it's a little bit healthier, you know, with all the without all the bread and you can get the wheat wraps and all that stuff. So yeah, I tend to agree with you that that's probably part of their trying to make their offerings a little bit more healthier.
Yeah, because they didn't have the last couple of times they didn't have the breakfast pizza at Riverside. That kind of upset me.
Yeah, I mean, and even some of the pizza too. I mean, you know, you even see it, I'm sure, where you are down there in Jersey. I mean, you can get pizza without cheese on it now, where they
Oh,
put a
that's
lot
all
of
my wife can
vegetables.
eat. That's what we
Right,
get
but
all the time. She gets tomato pie all the time, and I eat a lot of it too because she's lactose intolerant, my wife.
right, but I mean, it's very good. I mean, even at the school where I work, it's run by Aramark that runs a lot of the like ballparks and stuff around the country and other campuses. But they do like a vegetable pizza, which basically they just brush a little olive oil on the pizza dough and load it up with vegetables and some chunky
Good stuff.
tomato. It's pretty good, yeah. I mean, you know, is it a cheesy, you know, ooey gooey, you know, piece of pizza?
But it's
No,
a
but
different
it's
kind of good pizza. So
right.
don't make it any
It's
worse, or it's just a different. It's just as good, but in a different way.
right. Broccoli never tasted so good, you know.
Exactly. Let's go to your third one.
All right, I'm giving you. Oh, you're giving me one. Okay.
Yeah, you just gave me my second
Okay.
one.
All right.
Okay, don't calm down. I'm next.
All right. Okay.
Okay, you're getting ready to talk. You're talking to somebody,
Okay.
and this is what you're gonna t when I say you're gonna say to them, "Must do." What's the first thing that comes to your mind? So the person going on their next trip, what they must do when they go to Magic Kingdom or any of the parks, go to
They
Disney World.
must see illuminations. That's the first thing that popped into my mind.
That's exactly what popped into my mind too. Ain't that weird? So
Yeah,
we're both
well.
promoting your illumination at the
No,
park.
I mean nothing to do with the draft and all, but
No, I'm
again,
kidding.
you know, our listeners are going to say, "Oh, here goes Dennis again." But I mean, to me, it's less about the attractions and it's more about stuff like that. When you can stand around World Showcase Lagoon with your family or whoever you're traveling with, and other guests that you may or may not know or whatever, and you kind of feel that unity. It sounds corny when we're saying it on this show here, but when you're actually down there and that music and the just the whole scene, it's dark and the music that plays with this
It's just
illuminations.
so calming
Right.
around World Showcase before this starts. It's like
Yeah.
all the stress goes away when they start counting down, the illuminations is coming.
Yeah, I mean, you almost have a love for your fellow man, as again, as
Exactly.
corny as that sounds. But I mean, you know, I mean, I kind of get emotional when that show goes off. I mean, it never fails to impress me, and I've seen it a million times, and every time I see it, I just feel good about myself and where I am. And you look to your family, and you're thankful for, you know, that you're able to afford to come here and spend time together in this atmosphere. I don't know. It's just a real feel-good type atmosphere. And to me, that's what Disney's all about. And that's one thing that I would advise anybody going to Disney World. You must see. Absolutely.
If I was told I could have my last supper anywhere, that's where I'd want to have it, right there watching Illuminations with my family.
With
But
a
you
plate
know,
of bangers and mash.
oh, you ain't kidding. Absolutely, buddy. You know me oh so well. So you make sure if you know something's happening, that's where you drag me off to.
I know what to do.
But you know what I'm saying. Like, I remember
Yeah.
having my father there. Like, everybody I've ever taken there, it's taken their breath away. We've had a
Right.
great time. I've had so many family members, different friends there. I've met so many nice people sitting around waiting for Illumination. I remember this wonderful lady. I can still see her a couple trips ago. She pulled up with her scooter and sat next to us. And me and her and my wife were just talking like we've known each other for 20 years.
Right.
It's just an awesome show. That's the first thing that came to my mind and my wife's mind.
Wow,
So
that's
ding, ding, ding,
unbelievable.
ding.
Yeah, and we did not discuss this before the show. This is off the cuff here, so I guess we're two peas in a pod when it comes to illuminations.
Absolutely, buddy. We're piping it into the tavern right now. The Main Street Pub is playing it right now.
There you go.
So
All
what's my
right, let
next
me.
one?
Next one for you. Okay, what do you think when I say the word fairy?
Fairy?
Yep.
Oh, that's weird. I the first thing that came to my mind was the whatchamacallit? The fairies that come over from the Magic Kingdom parking lot. The
The
Colonel?
fa I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, to us, we call a ferry boat. So I'm thinking about the boats that come.
No. A ferry.
Oh, then I think of Tink when she used to fly down the line from the Magic King, from the castle, and land on the roof.
That's exactly what I was thinking. And sorry about that. Sorry for my terrible New England accent.
That's okay. But I was thinking ferry boats. I was thinking of the ferries that come over from the park.
Right. I was saying, what is he talking about? There's something that happens with ferries that I don't know about?
No, flying across there, and I always think I would love to do that.
Well, I mean, that's exactly, I have written down here, Tinkerbell before wishes, and that to me is, again, a moment that, you know, again, it sounds corny, but I kind of get a little emotional when it gets dark and they put the spotlight on Tinkerbell up there at the top of the castle, and to your point, Doug, she zips down the line there and goes over to the Tomorrowland Terrace, excuse me. That's pretty neat. I mean, it does look like she's flying. They do a good job with that, and I think that adds a lot to that whole show. So I think of that, and secondly, and I know you've been down to Flower and Garden many, many times, but they have that fairy garden, if you will, over by where they have the butterflies.
Well,
yeah,
butterflies, and you can walk through it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, they got all the little topiaries. They got Tinkerbell, and don't ask me to name the other fairies. I don't know. But, you know, that's pretty neat to look at, and it's a little fairy garden, if you will, and that came to my mind second.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, that, I would love to be able to do that zip line.
I wouldn't. I'd be scared to death.
I've done that on construction sites, man, so I've done dangerous things with my buddies Tony and Pete putting me up on it. I trust Disney more, you know what I'm saying?
I want to see you go down there with a, you know, with a zip gun with sheetrock screws on your belt coming
there
down the
go.
Line. That would look good.
Absolutely. They call me the stinking fairy.
Yeah. Or worse.
Absolutely. My next one for you is,
yes,
when I say to you, and think of my thing is for you is the first thing you think of when I say your last trip.
My last trip.
Your last visit to Disney World. What's the first memory that came from that trip?
Well, I hate to do this, but I think of Bob and Mary for whatever reason.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've said this on previous shows, and those of you that listen to our show regularly know that Bob Sycon is a regular contributor to WDW Main Street. He's a food critic, if you will, and all that's food in Walt Disney World, that's his expertise. But yeah, on our last trip, we got to spend some time with Bob and his wife, and we really had a good time.
Yeah, bangers and mash.
We did. And we had some fun with you texting and busting your chops a little bit. And I'm sure you were thrilled to.
I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, I know.
I was living vicariously. I wanted to hop in the car and come down.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I just think back, you know, that's just something that we enjoyed each other's company and my family and his family, him and his wife. You know, we got to eat at Rose and Crown, and I mentioned
before. You did the little recordings around World Showcase at the kiosks for us?
Yeah. That was another afternoon that Bob and I were able to slip out from the wives. They gave us permission to do this. So we were able to, you know, do five or six different kiosks around World Showcase. And that was a blast. We saw Yeehaw Bob together, and that was a blast because they had never seen him. And I think they were pretty impressed with his presentation.
Well, if they wouldn't have been, we couldn't have been friends with him anymore.
Exactly.
We'd have had to do away with Bob.
Right.
That
and
was
then,
his test for the Brotherhood.
Yes. Yeah, no, they really enjoyed it. And then, you know, to kind of tie it back into an earlier point in this show, we were able to, and I can never say the name of the restaurant, the Mexico restaurant that sets on the water. What is that? La Hacienda or whatever?
La Hacienda San Angelo.
There you go. We were able to, thanks to Mary, she was able to commandeer a table or two for us, and we were able to enjoy Illuminations together as friends, and it was a great night, a great night. So yeah, Bob, if you're listening, my last trip, that's what I think of, when the first thing that comes to my mind when you asked me what about my last trip.
Okay, that's very good. It was different. It was good. I don't know if I'd remember Bob. I'd remember Mary, but not Bob. But anyway, just so you know, for me, my last trip, the first thing I remembered when I wrote it down was me and Brenda, Extra Magic Hours, my first time on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, it was the start of my trip. It was the very first night. It was Extra Magic Hours. It was an extra special night for me. So I'll never forget my first time on that ride.
No, that's a great one. And, you know, many times the first of something always tends to stick in your mind. So I could see why you would choose that.
Yeah, we were looking at pictures from the day gone by. It was a very nice queue. It was a beautiful night. It was about 75 degrees out. It was gorgeous. It was a perfect night.
Awesome. And you did it in the day and at night, right?
Yes, absolutely. So awesome. I like night better, but it was awesome.
I remember seeing the pictures.
So, my next one, partner.
Okay. What do you think of first when I say the word reptile?
Reptile. I actually think of the last time we were at Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. We actually were watching, what's those dragons? Komodo dragon was getting its tail operated on at the outpost.
Okay.
and that's the first thing that comes to my mind, because they were doing an operation. We stood there for about 15, 20 minutes watching them operate on this Komodo dragon's tail. And it was really cool. It was awesome to see them work on that.
For some reason, I hear Scott laughing in the background. I don't know why.
Well, he needs to go out there more and pay attention to what's going on out of Conservation Station and all that.
That's an inside joke. For those of you that aren't up with it, Scott was a former host of this podcast, or co-host, I should say. And Doug and Scott had a very, at least I think, a very humorous back and forth about this Conservation Station and this animal. What do you call it, Doug? Like a hospital? Not a hospital.
It's a veterinarian facility.
Yeah.
Where they work on all the animals out there.
Right. I won't go into the detail of it, but it was very, very funny. And I apologize for those of you that don't have any idea what we're talking about. We'll move on at this point.
I was talking about a lion that was being operated, that was doing her physical, and they were working on her, taking care of her, and Scott didn't believe me. But we were right there, and I don't care if you don't believe me. My wife is my witness.
I believe you.
But it's awesome. I mean, it seems like every time I go there, they're doing something.
No, I know. Yes, that is true. And in all seriousness, every time I've been out there, they may not be doing a major thing. I mean, they may not have a leopard or a lion or a gorilla or something like that. It may be something as small and fragile as a bird or something like that. But they're generally always doing something, either, you know, maybe trimming the nails or cutting the feathers, you know, whatever it might be. They're always doing something, and you can learn something. And if, you know, animals interest you, birds, stuff like that, you can always, you know, get educated when you go out there. Yeah, and
Rikiki Planet
stuff.
Watch is an awesome place to be back there at Conservation.
Oh, absolutely.
You can learn a lot. And like I said, it was really cool. They were actually saving this Komodo dragon's tail, then. It was infected.
Wow.
It was really cool, because what was happening was, what's really cool about it, if you're back there during any of this, they'll have the television on, and you can actually hear them communicating with each other as they're doing the operation.
Yeah, you're right. They put on the speaker so that you can actually hear them talking within the room, and they broadcast that sound out to the, you know, not the lobby, but kind of the viewing area, I guess, is what
I'd
call it.
Behind the glass where you're standing there, you're in the lounge, right. Kind of spectator's lounge, and I'll tell you what, it's very interesting to see, and it's awesome to see how much they care about the animals out there.
Yeah, and it is, and that's one of those things, like you said, Doug, that you never know what you're going to get. I mean, you know, they could be doing something to one of the gorillas one day you're in there. I mean, I've never seen that, but I mean, I suppose any of the animals that are, you know, housed within the animal kingdom, I mean, could be being worked on at any given time. I mean,
these are all the things that people just walk by, don't do. They're always, again, the hurry thing.
Right.
I just think it's awesome to stand by the animals that are really the animal size, to really see how big they are when you're next to them. Where the life, like the cutouts of the hippos, the lions, the tigers, mm-hmm. they're like the actual size of what they would be. It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It is, you know, you stand up again, you know, alongside a rhinoceros or something like that, and you kind of get a feel for exactly how big they are. I mean, you see
and
them
how
out
little
on the
you are.
Exactly. And how fast you better be able to run if one of them guys is after you.
Absolutely. But yeah, that's the first thing that came to my mind. What about yours, a reptile?
Yeah, I mean, kind of a stretch here, but a dinosaur popped into my mind, the dinosaurs, reptiles, whatever, in that attraction. And also the alligators that you you kind of go over the bridge there on Kilimanjaro Safaris. That came to my mind as well.
And second with me would be also the snake on Jungle Cruise.
Oh, good one. Didn't even think of that.
Yeah, that would be my other one. Remember, he's sitting there with his little tongue. You know,
honorable mention. Then you got the snakes. Well, if you really want to go, you can go to what is a great movie ride. You could go snakes, and you could also do Jungle Cruise has a snake scene in under one of those tunnels there.
That's
right?
That's what I was saying. Jungle Cruise, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So my last one for you is what do you think of when I say your very first trip to Walt Disney World? What's your first memory?
Well, this is going to sound too simplistic, but it's Dixie Landings. First trip, that's where we stayed. I've told the story before, but I'll state it briefly. We had my son had won a trip to Disney World through a paper route that he had, and we won, and we were supposed to fly down, but my wife at the time didn't. Not my wife at the time. My wife still.
I was going to say, is there something you haven't been telling me?
No. What I was going to say is at the time she didn't fly is what I was trying to say, but it came out wrong.
She
but anyways.
She doesn't fly. You
well, yeah, she did last time. I think she's getting better. But But anyways, because she wouldn't fly, we renegotiated the package with the paper, you know, the higher ups at the paper. Anyways, we were supposed to have stayed outside the park, but because we didn't use the airfare, they credited us enough money that they were able to book us at a Disney resort, which again we knew nothing about. All we knew is we were going to Disney World, and as it turned out, it was Dixie Landings that we were booked at, and that's why. Yeah, I mean, it changed my life. I mean, that's why we're such big fans of Port Orleans Riverside now, and how the reason why we're such big Disney fans was the just the whole, you know, aside from all the parks and the rides and all that was great, and it was, you know, jaw-dropping, but staying at that resort and being treated like we were treated, like, you know, you would have thought we were royalty.
It made it worth what you worked for all year. You felt like you were something at the end of the year.
Yes, exactly. For 7 days or whatever it was, we felt like we were, you know, the kings of the world or whatever. And Disney
felt like,
did it.
Lovey and what's his face?
Yeah, Mr. Howell.
Mr. Howell from the Gilligan's Island.
yeah, there you go. But yeah, I mean that's definitely what I remember. You know, I have a lot of memories from my first trip, but
that
popped
thing.
Into my mind. Yeah, that set the stage for everything that was to come the next 15 years, and thousands of dollars later, and DVC, and doing a Disney podcast, and the whole shooting match all started with that first day we stepped foot on at the time Dixie Landings property.
Started the addiction.
It did.
You know what came to my mind when I said first trip to myself?
What?
And this is going to be goofy, and a lot of people hate it, but it's the first thing I thought about from the first trip. And you were down there the same time as me because we both went in 97 our first time.
Right.
The first thing that came to my mind was that cake for the castle, the big pink castle.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that. But you're right. Our first time, that was the castle was all dolled up in that pink frosting, if you will.
I mean, it was amazing, like, because I've never been there before, so it was awesome, and it was kind of even made my next trip even special, because I got to see the castle the way it should be my next trip.
Right.
So it was kind of cool. The next year when we went back down, I got to see the castle back to its normal self, but remembering the cake, and the other thing I remember, which everybody fights with me, is that the behind the castle, you could see the cars in the air, the cable cars.
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't remember that, to be totally honest with you, but I know that it did exist, and there's still some of the footings here and there, I think.
You can
in the
see
park.
The one area over by Tomorrowland by Astro Orbiter. It's still there.
Exactly.
Where it came
exactly.
in, but I remember the cable cars going by. You could see them going by over the back of the ice cream cake.
Yeah, I wish I would have got to ride that, to be honest with you. I bet you that was just
It
an
was awesome.
awesome perspective of the park. Yeah.
It was awesome. And I, because we used to ride them at Great Adventure, so it didn't faze me, but it looked so much prettier at Magic Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
It was
And just
gorgeous.
having that bird's eye view, awesome.
Yeah, I just wish I would have had more video of it. I had my video camera, but I didn't tape it because it was one of those things you thought was going to be there, and little did I know it was gone when we went back.
Yeah, but how would you
No.
know that then? But
My
yeah, in
first trip.
retrospect, yeah.
And Brenda remembers hers was just Main Street because it was the same as it was for her when she was a little girl. Her memory was nothing had changed.
Yeah, kind of getting
Yeah.
reacquainted with an old memory.
Absolutely. So give me your last one, Dan.
All right, this is not a curveball. This is actually a fastball down the middle, belt high. You can take this wherever you want. What do you think of when I say transportation?
Transportation, I can't lie. The first thing I think of is the friendship boats.
Good choice. That
I
was.
mean, over at Epcot and World Showcase and the friendship boats that run back and forth from Epcot to Hollywood Studios, around the Swan and Dolphin, Boardwalk, they're probably my favorite boats on property. They're my dream job, which everybody knows listening to this show, but that's the first thing comes to my mind when you think transportation is in boats. I want to be Gilligan on those boats.
Don't be giving Bob too much credit for his theme park.
No, I don't want to.
I mean, I'm the only kid. No, that's a great one. That was number two on my list, just my little list that I jotted down there. But when you really look at it, transportation, I think back to some of my earlier trips. And again, it's not as.
Number two would be Sascagoula.
Yeah,
So it's their third or my second, which are at my park.
yeah. No, that's. And those are great choices. I mean, nobody really likes the Disney buses, but I mean, that's something that blew me away when I first went to Disney was the efficiency of the buses and how they were all painted up in the Disney colors. And I really used to enjoy when the bus drivers
I
wore
wouldn't
the
mind being Ralph
purple.
Cramden. I was telling my brother that the other day.
Right.
I would drive a bus when I moved down there part time.
Absolutely.
I would love to do that. They'd say there's that guy that wouldn't shut up talking about how great the park is.
Now, I used to tell my daughter all the time, I want to wear those purple pants like the bus drivers used to wear. They've since changed the attire for the bus drivers. But yeah, I could see myself doing that and I would enjoy that. I mean, it's just the buses were our main mode of transportation the first time we went. I mean, I don't really remember, but I don't even know if we knew the boardwalk existed. I mean, we knew the boats, we used the boats that went downtown to downtown Disney at the time, so we were familiar with those boats, but I don't even think we really had an inkling of the friendship boats at that time. But the buses always stood out to me as, wow, what a great transportation system. It seemed like, they came very regularly and they were efficient
They
and
were 1,000 times better back in 97 than they are now.
right, that I agree with. But I just kind of, that's something that just kind of blew me away. And then, of course, thirdly, and you got to throw it in there, the monorail, which, in
Oh,
my,
absolutely.
yeah, I mean, that's iconic. And I got to get a plug in for my park anyways. I got to do that too.
Well, I enjoyed this, Dan. I always enjoy first thing you think of because it's just us two. Being Disney geeks, this is the reason why we started this podcast, because me and you love to talk about Walt Disney World. So we enjoy going back to this, and I think it's a lot of fun, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought we would talk about a kimono dragon tonight, right?
Exactly. That's what I like about this. It's just us two sitting at the bar, we're having a couple drinks of our choice, talking about our favorite place in the world with our favorite people in the world, wanting to be down there with our families.
There you go. I
Yeah.
concur.
It's happy times, and we're going to be doing our draft. We're going to be continuing the second round very shortly. I hope all you guys enjoyed that. I want to say thanks, and we will mention on our normal Sunday show, we got a couple more reviews over on iTunes, guys. We really, really appreciate that. We're going to give you a shout out on Sunday show. And
Absolutely.
if somebody goes over there between now and Sunday, we'll shout you out too. So please go over to iTunes, leave a review for us. We really, really appreciate it. And keep up all the chatter on Twitter with us about the draft. We're having fun interacting with you guys.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to be going into the second, not the second round. I guess technically it's
The
the
second
sixth
10.
round.
The
Yeah,
second
second
10.
10. That's the
Yeah.
way to look at it.
Yeah.
And there'll be four more after this next round of drafting. But also our friend Bob from All in WDW, he's put it to us that we need to come up with a name for our theme park. So if any of you have any ideas or suggestions.
Don't be saying Doug's Dump.
No. This is for either one of the three of us, if that makes any sense. If you think you have a good name based on what we've drafted so far, we'd love to hear from you, and we will consider maybe using that name to name our theme park. So if you want to interact with us, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at WDW Main Street. We're over on Facebook. And what's our website? Our email, Doug?
It's wdwmmsm@gmail.com. At wdwmmsmpodcast@gmail.com.
There you go. You can drop us an email, and we'll read your comments on either the next show or the show after the draft, and you can participate in this little draft we have going here.
Well, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you guys for following along, and we'll talk to you guys real soon. We'll see you next week or next show.
Happy trails.
Talk to you later, Dan. I had fun. Bye.
Good night.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.